welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Syke.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So we are set for today's after-show webinar.
There you go.
You want to know what we are looking at with regard to the stock market and issues related to our portfolios, then sign up for the webinar. If you have not done that already, it's easy to do. You go to irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner, it says webinar. A couple of clicks, your name and email, and you will get a link giving you access. And even if you can't stay after today's show, you will get a replay link after the recording has been processed. We'll get it out probably this weekend, but certainly we will get it out as quickly as we get around to dealing with the after show family expectations on our time.
We do other stuff besides this, so yeah, every once in a while.
And it does take some time for the GoToWebinar to process the recording. But actually, if you want to go test it right now, you can, because I do have our pre-show slides rotating through, so it'll give you something to be sure your system's up and operating and that you have successfully logged on to the webinar. If you are not getting our week in review, which normally goes out on Mondays, unless that's a holiday, which is the reason we're doing the show today, because we don't do webinars on three-day weekends. And that means that next month, it's not going to be on the first Saturday either, because that's 4th of July weekend. But anyway, shortly after we get this one finished today, we'll get a link up for the July registration. If you're not getting Week in Review, send us an email, help@irradio.com. Put Week in Review in the subject line. We need your first and last name in the body of the email in order to set you up in constant contact, which, if you decide you don't like our stuff, it's really easy to unsubscribe. We very rarely get an unsubscribe request. Maybe people just aren't getting around to doing it. I don't know.
Most people enjoy getting that newsletter. We have a solid audience for that, and it's well worth your time. You should take a look at it.
Anyway, we do some reflection on the past year. We sure hate to go back there and go through this again. But when it comes to the stock market, last year was exceptional. We had the fastest bear market ever, period. I mean, if you define a bear market as being a 20% or greater loss, which is kind of a standard definition, but there's no real academic research that justifies 20. It could be 25. but if you're really sensitive, it could be 15. Not everybody, but the industry kind of defaults to, well, if you're down 20%, that's no big deal. You can afford to lose 20% of your portfolio and not lose a bit of sleep.
Everything's fine. Let's ride this out, and that is the industry standard, Don. You're correct.
However, we don't have any clients that sleep through 20% declines.
Not something anyone enjoys, seeing 20% of something you took your entire life to accumulate going out the window. And most of the time, for no other reason than, well, the market turned down. I wonder why that happened. And you never even get to know.
And the general recommendation is, hey, you're in here for the long haul. It's a long haul. So quit worrying. Go back to bed. Quit calling me. And the market always goes up sooner or later, and that's the problem. when people tell you buy low, sell high, they need to follow up with it's necessary to sell high to preserve your capital so you can buy low instead of just watching your portfolio meander between highs and lows without regard to whether or not you actually need the money. And last year was one of those. We had this huge drop so fast, and then we had a massive recovery so rapidly, both of which set records as far as stock market performance was concerned. So clearly, there were a lot of things that made last year a very dark year. But within the market, there were pockets, small pockets, but there were pockets where the sun was shining brightly. There were 52 stocks that gained 100% or more last year.
That's a good year any year. But last year, in the midst of all that craziness, knocking out 100% is that means you were one of those companies that was in the right place at the right time. A lot of companies just were thriving with the pandemic shutdown. It just drove business right to them or accelerated business that was coming to them, and 100% years. That's fantastic, and some of them much more than the 100%.
Well, and 38 of those companies now are negative so far this year. So, I mean, there's an old adage that what the good Lord giveth, the good Lord taketh away. And that's been kind of true with some of these attention getters from last year.
If you were, if the pandemic was driving your business, if the shutdown was really making you one of the leaders, as that begins to unwind now, your position changes. And all of a sudden, we're back to pre-pandemic business levels and pre-pandemic business drivers. So if you don't have anything else besides the shutdown that was really making your business work, you're back to where you were before. And that's nowhere near 100% of your gains.
So some of the best names in 2020 are actually falling the hardest so far this year. Just a couple of them. Tesla, Enphase Energy, you know, if you weren't really paying attention, you missed that one. Peloton, you get a lot of advertising if you're watching business channels anyway. Zoom Video, introduced to most of the world last year.
They got famous. They did.
Trade Desk, Teladoc, Fastly. I mean, some of those names are really getting hammered at the present time. You want to know where the market is headed or what it looks like at the present time from our perspective, which is not a standard financial advisor perspective. I mean, we have been standard traditional financial advisors, and we found out, came to believe sincerely after the great financial collapse of 08 and 09, that standard financial advice has nothing to do with protecting capital. And most of our clients are retired and they want to protect their capital. We had to figure out what was wrong with the system. And we did. And we reverted back to systems, processes that worked well before Harry Markowitz published his paper on modern portfolio theory in 1952, right along with the Studebaker. And the odds are your advisor's still using a Studebaker kind of financial plan process. If you want to find out what we're thinking, then sign up for today's webinar. Go to IRIradio.com, IRIRadio.com. Lower left-hand corner of the website says webinar. Couple of clicks, email in your name, and you will get a link to join us today. And if you cannot join us today, you'll get a replay link, be able to watch it on your own time. Since most of the seasonal programs on TV have come to an end and you're stuck with replays anyway, why not watch ours? It'll be more educational.
Absolutely.
Well, when we're talking about the stock market, one of the things that has happened is, well, they call them memes. People get on social media and somebody with a brand name says, just shut up and buy it. You know, forget about the fundamentals, forget about Warren Buffett reading the footnotes and getting the supplemental prospectus. And who wants to do that? It's going up. Just buy it. Yeah. Okay. Well, it works until it doesn't. And so people made a lot of money last year, and then a lot of money got lost. Bitcoin, an example, falling from 60,000 to 30,000 in very short order.
But for the longest time, like you said, Don, starting last year, just shut up and buy it was that was the meme out there. That's what everybody was doing. And like you said, for the longest time, it was working, and it didn't. You had to just shut up and buy it because you couldn't take the time to try to figure out if this non-fungible token was going to increase in value or not. You had to hurry up and get it. You had to hurry up and get it because everybody else was getting it. And so we had to get some Bitcoin, had to get some tokens, had to get the, you know, the stock du jour. And no one took the time to take a look at the fundamentals, to take a look at, well, what's really going on in this market, because none of it made any sense anyway. There was no way to make sense out of it. So, hey, if it's going up, just buy it. It just doesn't matter. And the bad part about that is, like you just said, Don, it works until it doesn't. And when it doesn't, now you're in trouble. Now it's going to revert to the mean, and you're going to ride it the other way.
Well, until last year, we didn't even know what a non-fungible token was.
I'm not sure I still do, but they're out there, and they are not inexpensive.
There's an Italian artist who sold a non-fungible token for his invisible sculpture. It's in a museum, and they have a roped-off area. And I saw him on TV explaining the beauty of his invisible sculpture, and somebody bought it. Okay, this is not the sign of an irrational investor or a bubble, right? I mean, anything will go up. And then there's the non-fungible token of somebody's fart. Yeah, that one sold too. It is beyond explanation.
But as long as the price was increasing, nobody cared. It was like, we don't care. We don't care what it is. We don't care if it has any intrinsic value or not. All you're looking for is, it's the greater fool theory. You're just waiting for the next person to come in and pay more money for it than you did, and that makes it a win. But it doesn't necessarily mean that there's anything behind it. It just becomes a bit of a mania, if you will, and then you're just hoping you're not the one left holding the bag when the music stops.
And somewhere around February 12th, the music did stop, and there are a lot of people looking for chairs, and we should probably look for one ourselves with the break right now.
We are at our first break. I'd like to remind everyone that we do have our webinar for June right after the show today, 9:15. You still have plenty of time to sign up for that. Just go to iriradio.com, head for the webinar page. Give the registration link a click, and you will get a link back. And after the show today, just click that link. You will be live online with us. You're going to be able to see what we're talking about. We're going to show you the screens, the charts that we look at. We'll cover what's going on out there in the economy, in the markets right now, and what we're doing with our portfolios. And then we always have plenty of time to get to your questions. So bring your questions about the market or the economy, or if you have individual securities you would like to get a second opinion on, whether they should still be in your portfolio or not, or whether it's something you're thinking about buying, it's a great time to get a second opinion. We can take those tickers and show you a chart and let you know what we think. So again, you can register for that at iriradio.com. If you'd like to talk to us this morning, feel free to give us a call at 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
So that is take it higher. And that is exactly what many investors were doing, particularly young millennial investors. Just take it higher. Just buy it. Get in the game. You know, what are you doing sitting around watching TV when you can be making money? You know, well, that's the sign of a mania. And unfortunately, we look back over history trying to figure out what the stock market has done and how to interpret it today. And you remember the old ad that GM ran, probably, I think this was in the early to mid 80s. This isn't your father's Buick. They were trying to get
Yeah.
That's when they, when all everything GM made looked like it came off the same body type.
Yep.
You couldn't tell the difference between a Buick, a Chevy, a Pontiac, or a Cadillac unless you got up close enough to look at the emblem.
That's it. It's the only difference. Yeah.
It's just stamped out one body and everybody got it. Well, this isn't your grandfather's mania either. I mean, the way the market is working today has broken all sorts of traditional rules. Valuation, profits, what's that?
Don't bother. No reason to even look at that stuff.
We talked about GameStop earlier in the year, GameStop. Now the interest has shifted to AMC, the theater company. Mm-hmm. And it isn't worth $30 billion, and the people buying the stock know it. It's a game, basically. Investing for many new investors has become just a game on their phone. Well, okay, so if you take a look at AMC, one analyst figured out that in order to make enough profits to justify a $30 billion valuation in the stock market, every person in the United States would have to show up at an AMC theater and watch 5 movies a day for the next year.
I'll volunteer. I can do that, but I'm not sure everybody can. But that's just one of those signs that say, okay, the AMC stock is completely out of control, and the people that are controlling it aren't worried about is this a real value or not. The value that the market cap put in the company because of the stock price doesn't matter. It's just a matter of can we drive the price up or not. And so that it's a completely different game than traditional stock market investing is.
And so some of this is being driven by computers. It's not even people. They're just seeing, hey, this thing's moving. The algorithm recognizes the change in price, and so it starts placing trades. And the individuals get excited about it because they're on Robinhood or some other app on their phone, and it just looks like another video game. And so they're playing a game. And, of course, everybody knows they're gambling, kind of. They know. But if they're making money, they don't care. When you buy a lottery ticket, you expect to lose 100% of your money. AMC was up 100% in one day.
again, 100% in a year is a fantastic
exceptional
year. 100% in a day, that's how you know you're in total speculation, which is why AMC themselves, the management, put out a statement that said, under the circumstances, we caution you against investing in our Class A common stock unless you're prepared to incur the risk of losing all or a substantial portion of your investment. That's from the company. They're warning you, we're going to sell some stock from time to time. If we were you, we wouldn't buy it. We don't think it's a good idea, but we're going to put it out there, and if somebody buys it, we're going to sell it. So now we're on the same page, right?
Oof. So the smart people are company management. Unlike so many firms that were buying, they weren't buying, they were buying their stock in 18 and 19 to support the price, pump it up. They were using corporate capital to pump up stock price because stock price action is a major part of corporate officer compensation.
There you go.
If the price goes up, my stock options are worth money, my bonus is worth more money, so let's spend some money and keep that price going up. So that when the pandemic hit and all of a sudden sales weren't there to keep the business operating, they didn't have sufficient reserves. That's what cash is for. Here, in this case, AMC is saying, and AMC on the verge of bankruptcy, is saying, this price makes no sense. Let's sell some more stock and get cash. Maybe we can survive this. We will sell it to the suckers who will buy it. And what you just said, Red Perry, was the disclosure that AMC is making. Hey, we're in deep trouble financially. But you guys think our stock's worth a lot of money and we could use some cash and we don't want to borrow it because nobody, actually we do want to borrow it. Nobody will lend it to us because our financial statement is so lousy, but you'll give us money. What a deal. Let's raise some cash. Let's sell stock. And that's exactly what a corporate officer is supposed to do when his stock price is elevated, particularly beyond reason, to sell company stock and gather cash from the unsuspecting, instead of pumping it up just to make your bonus bigger, which is what happened to tons of companies that went begging to Congress and saying, hey, the taxpayers won't care. You know, give us some money so we can stay in business and maintain our salaries and keep the payroll going, because you want people on payroll, not on unemployment. Oh, and no, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Apparently, right. Government does want people on unemployment because they're paying them not to go to work. Well, yeah, you have to think about that. But why on earth would you go back to work if you can sit home, watch your kids, teach your kids something that makes sense instead of what the public schools are doing? And still get paid. You don't have to make your mortgage payment because there's a forbearance system, which the current administration has extended even further. I don't have to make a house payment. My landlord can't evict me, and the government's given me money. What's not to like?
I'm in the sweet spot. I'm going to ride this as long as it's here. That's not conducive for a long-term economic expansion. So we say people need to go back to work, and we need to stop paying people to stay home. That's just not going to that can't continue. I can say that can't continue. I don't know how long that might continue. There's no real sign of it slowing down yet.
Well, we're not closing the borders, so we're bringing more people in who are going to continue, who are now going to be introduced to, oh, I'm from the government and I am here to help you. How much do you need? Medical care, got it. Food stamps, got it. A cell phone, got it. Cash for clothes, got it. I mean, what else do you need? This is Uncle Sam, here with his pocketbook open. You just come in here, reach in, and take what you need. Just remember, when it comes time to vote, remember who gave it to you. Yeah. Oh, registration, citizenship. Don't worry about that. We'll get you registered to vote. I mean, you look like a good guy to me. Anyway, the system right now remains messed up, and it's really messed up in the market, trying to figure out who is actually going to survive and generate profits, corporate profits. Well, if they generate corporate profits, the new legislation that's being proposed is, you didn't make that. We want our share. We're Uncle Sam here, and we have an open pocketbook on the other side. We need somebody to fill it up on this side. So you're a business. You got lots of money. Give it to us. Just give it to us. But that's a false story. When you think about it, corporations don't pay tax. Well, now there is the sales talk right there. Corporations don't pay tax. And that's true. Now, if they're not paying tax with the IRS on their annual statement, that's because of Congress passing laws that make that legal. But let's assume they actually are writing a check to the IRS. Corporations not paying tax. Tax is part of what is called input cost, which includes labor and materials to generate whatever product or service they're using. Tax is just another one of those input costs. So how do you stay in business? You add up all your input costs, you add a profit margin, and that becomes your sale price. So corporations are merely a way for the government to collect taxes from individuals without telling the individuals what is happening.
It is building into the price of goods because the corporations are going to pass that tax increase through to the through the pricing. As long as they have pricing power, as long as we will continue to buy their stuff, they can tack that price on, and the government gets their tax, and they didn't have to tax anyone. Pretty cool deal there, huh?
Let's go ahead and take a break. And we'll change subjects when we come. At least I'll try to change subjects when we come back.
We can do it. We can do it. I'd like to remind everyone, we do have our monthly webinar right after the show today. You can still register for that. Just go to IRIradio.com. That is IRIRadio.com. Head to the webinar page. Give the registration link a click, and you will get a link back this morning. And right after the show, just click that link, and you will be live online. And as I said before, we're going to cover the economy, the markets, and we always have plenty of time for your questions. So get your questions together, get online, and come sit in with us today. It'll be well worth your time. You are listening to Investor Resources here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Investor Resources. Check out our website at IRIRadio.com and log on for a free report. That's IRIRadio.com. Don and Perry are waiting to answer your questions now at 1-888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking.
A real big spender. Yeah, we've got two of them. One of them is in the administration, in the White House, and the other one is in the secondary White House, which is referred to as the Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank, both of whom are absolutely committed to seeing how much money they can just dump into the system and pray it all works.
And it's a lot. It's a lot of money.
In the beginning of this dump, the chairman of the Fed was Ben Bernanke. Remember that name? He got a nickname pretty quickly as this whole thing started. It was Helicopter Ben. Well, as he testified in Congress, the Fed has never done this before. We're not sure how it's going to end, but we'll figure it out.
We'll let you know how it's going, though, we think. But we're just going to keep on going and try to figure this out as we go along.
Well, Janet Yellen didn't figure it out. And Mr. Powell hasn't figured it out. But Mr. Powell last year decided that a helicopter was not big enough to deliver the money that was necessary to give everybody a paycheck, a faux paycheck, but cash just the same. He basically converted a helicopter into a fleet of B-52 bombers to put enough money in the system. And this is part of the esoteric world of modern monetary theory. Mm-hmm. Which nobody knows exactly how it's going to end, especially end well. That question remains.
It's another one of those new, newly generated academic pieces of work that has now worked its way into the real economy. And you know, one of the tenets is that debt really doesn't matter. You can just pile up debt as much as you want, and it really doesn't matter. So
my banker doesn't believe
no,
that.
No, it's funny. Our personal economies do not work that way. But supposedly, whatever the government's doing, it doesn't matter. The number is of no consequence. It doesn't matter how much it increases. It doesn't matter how big it gets. It's just a number. So don't be afraid of that debt. That's the theory anyway.
So, unfortunately, the government doesn't work like households and businesses do, because just assume that you are many of you are retired, so you're free and clear of debt. But let's go back, and when you're in your late 20s, your early 30s, you're you know, you're working your way up the employment ladder, trying to make more money. You got a family, you got a house mortgage, you got a car payment, you're looking at college education, and you have X amount of debt. And just overnight, you double it, and you say, yeah, no big deal. I can handle it. And you're thinking, you got to be crazy. Well, the Fed, last February 2020, the balance sheet since then has increased by $3.6 trillion to $7.7 trillion. That's basically doubling the debt in a year. Go back to when you were working. Imagine what kind of pressure that would put you under if you, in 1 year, doubled your debt and your income had not gone up. Well, it's kind of where we are. And the stock market says, hey, the sun is shining here. Look at all the money the Fed's putting in the system. We are going to celebrate. And the market did last year. But guess what? There is always an end to what is too good to be true. You've heard that before.
Always. So we don't think there can be a way to reasonably deal with debt at those levels. It's just, it's so huge. You know, Don, you said the Federal Reserve balance sheet increased by $3.6 trillion. It's bad enough if it was $3.6 trillion. It went up by that amount to, you know, pushing $8 trillion. It's just hard to wrap your head around numbers that big.
Well, with all the money that came from various forms of government, households looked at what was going on around them, and many people said, this is not rational. And instead of doing what government wanted with the money, going out and spending it to stimulate the economy and increase corporate profits so they could collect more taxes, people said, maybe we should reduce our debt so our cost of living isn't quite so high. And credit card debt collapsed. I mean, the amount of money that was paid off in credit cards was a shock to the bankers, because the major source of profit for banks today is credit card balances. If you have a credit card and you don't have a balance on it, and the bank gets a meager service charge when you use your credit card, but where they make money, and the only significant source of profit for banks today is that 29% per year interest rate on your credit card balance. And people were paying them off. And the government's saying, hey, you're supposed to spend the money. And the banks are saying, hey, don't pay it off. We need the interest.
Charge it, man. Charge it. Yeah, that's where their big profit comes from.
So total deposits, people started building up their emergency fund. Imagine that. Things can get difficult. Maybe we do need a bankroll of some sort to pay for unexpected expenses, like the car breakdown or the refrigerator breaks down, and we don't have to charge it. We'd actually have money to pay for it. What an idea. So a lot of people got spooked, and they cleaned up their financial situation, which for the health of the country is, in fact, pretty decent.
That's a good thing. That's positive.
Got
that's right.
People in better financial shape. What a concept. Instead of being leveraged to the hilt. So financial assets held by households jumped by almost $3.5 trillion between the fourth quarter of 2019 and the fourth quarter of 2020. So basically over the course of a year, people exercising fiscal responsibility. Now the question is, will they put that money in the stock market? Because the stock market has stopped going up.
Doing a little sideways dance right now, and the huge inflows have begun to slow down. There's just kind of a normal amount of a volume out there right now. There's nothing big going on, and it's getting harder to find those things that are, like we talked about earlier, those things that are increasing over 100% a year. Those are becoming tough to find out there, and a little more reality sneaking in to the brand new stock investors who are understanding, yes, this market does go both ways, and it's not so easy as it was previously. It's never as easy as it was, the previous 12 months because of the pandemic shutdown and the reopening. It was hard to lose money in the stock market. There was a huge percentage of stocks that were positive for the trailing 12 months. That's not normal. It's not normally like that. That's not how it works. But that's a lot of new investors, their first impression of stocks. Hey, everything goes up. Everything's working. Just buy it. And that does not continue. And when it changes, people are going to learn that they're going to need to change their behavior. Just hope they don't get hurt too bad trying to figure that out.
Well, there were hundreds of millions of dollars of investors' money lost in the GameStop when it collapsed. And again, the last number I saw was about $300 million has been lost in Bitcoin by investors who were buying it, assuming it would go from 60 to 100,000. And it may go from 60 to 100,000. The only question is, how long will it take to get there? And will various governments around the world decide to put a stop to it, as China has begun to do? You can no longer use cryptocurrencies to buy anything in China. They want a little more control over their currency, and they don't want black market money, which is where you find a lot of activity in the crypto world.
One of the primary uses for cryptocurrency currently, and we're probably going to see more of that, more regulation coming online, so to speak, because governments can't have an unlimited amount of currency flowing in and out of their economy that they have no control over. And so that it's not going to continue as it is. Have no idea what that market's going to look like once there's more regulation in place. But that regulation is probably on the way, and probably there's no way to stop it.
Well, the Fed and the European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan, they're already working on the processes to bring this stuff under control. But this is not your father's stock market. And your father's stock market, like that old Buick from the 80s, isn't coming back. And I think there's actually Buick is back out online with another car. They've been making another run at it. But when you, I remember when one of our clients, who's the daughter of our client, got her first job at Microsoft, and the dad told me, "This is her first job. We're really proud of her," and he should be. She is making more money in her first job at Microsoft than I made after 30 years with my firm. And he said, "I can't complain. I mean, they're paying her. So what's not to like about that?" But that's kind of the new world that we're facing in the stock market today. If you think that you need to be doing a lot of fundamental research, looking through balance sheets, footnotes, doing the Warren Buffett routine, when you have a Robinhood type app on your phone, I mean, you have a kid who's in his 20s, early 20s. He's been playing games for years, and now he's sitting up in his room, and he's saying, and you hear him shouting, "Go, go, go, go!" Well, he's no longer playing War of the Worlds or whatever he used to play. He's now watching his stock go up. And all of a sudden, he's making $20,000, $30,000 a month. And you're sitting there saying, "What on earth did I do wrong?"
Something's happening out there. And I'm not part of it. You know, and that's where that FOMO kicks in, that fear of missing out. And that's when you start following the money around a little bit. And sometimes that money's heading into a dead end, and it's hard to tell in these markets until you're in there, until you actually have you know, money in the game. Is this a real thing, or is this just going to collapse? And the problem is, of course, you never know when it's going to collapse. That's the biggest problem. We should get out of here, Don. We've got our last break of the morning here. We still have plenty of time to get your calls on the board. If you'd like to give us a call this morning, talk any of this over. We'd love to talk to you. 888-312-5757. 888-312-5757. And again, right after the show today, we have our June market update webinar. You can register for that at iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. Just go to the webinar page and give the registration link a click, and you have plenty of time to log on with us this morning. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
So I'm telling you right now, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive.
Yeah, only the strong survive. That's true in sports. If you're weak, you're going to lose the game. You're going to be kicked out of the competition. In the market, it's the same thing. If you have a weak company, you're going to lose to your competition. And that's true with investing. And the investing business has changed much of it into a game. And we were talking when we went into the break about what's happened with these various game-type apps on people's phones. And you take a younger child, I mean, so somebody in their, and I know they're not children anymore, but they're in their 20s. They've never invested in the stock market until last year, when all of a sudden they started receiving payroll protection supplemental checks from the government. And they said, what am I going to do with this? I'm living with folks, don't have a mortgage payment. They don't make me pay rent. They buy the groceries. When I've got money. What can I do? Oh, and grandpa died and left me a little bit of cash. Robinhood looks just like all these games I've been playing. Let's see what happens here. And so this article that you dug up, Perry, has this kid named Aiden, who in the last 12 months, with 25 grand from his granddad and a little bit of cash that's coming in from Uncle Sam, he turned that into $800,000 from a phone app, knowing virtually nothing about what it was he was buying and selling. I mean, you read a couple of articles, and then Mark Cuban started tweeting, and then you have Elon Musk tweeting. So you hit the buy button, make a little money, then you start borrowing it from your broker. That's called leverage. Then you buy crypto. It all worked. Large gains lead to larger trades, which lead to larger gains. And the question that he asked is, why doesn't everybody do this, Dad?
This is easy.
What are you doing?
Everybody should be doing this. And you shouldn't be doing any homework. You shouldn't be looking at what you're buying. You should just get online, look for the numbers that are changing fastest, and buy some of whatever that is. And without knowing anything about it. It all looks the same on the app.
So Aiden's dad, he's ready to retire, and he needs to withdraw money. And the old bond interest assumption, what interest?
Forget that. Yeah.
That's not going to support you. How about dividends from the stocks? You need a really big portfolio to live off of even stock dividends. And then you still have what happens if the market declines and the company stops its dividend payment for a while to preserve cash so they don't go bust. And you do. Those questions these kids aren't asking. There is no allegiance to anything. Nobody here in this age group, whether it's Jerry or Jaden or Chelsea or Tyler or Madison or whoever it happens to be, they don't care if it's GE, GM, HP, U.S. Steel, Bank of America. They don't care. I mean, they're not doing business with those companies. There's an old Wizard of Id cartoon. It's from the 60s. Says, remember the golden rule? Whoever has the gold makes the rules. Well, this new generation of game app investors, they have the gold. They're making the rules. They are driving market volatility with millions of new brokerage accounts and trillions in value transferred from taxpayers taxpayers and the Federal Reserve into their Robinhood and Coinbase accounts.
And they really they really have internalized the reality that we don't need anyone's permission to do this. There's no one we have to ask. There's no one we have to be accountable to. We just have to get in there and start trading. And when we move together, as they have been doing, we can move the market. We can change the reality of what's going on out there. And I think we're just at the front end of seeing the reality of that coming true here.
So this is not your traditional market. And most financial advisors are using traditional, long-tested processes that their brokers tell them to use. Because if the brokers get sued, they want to know how they're going to defend themselves in court. I mean, the modern portfolio theory isn't really intended to make money for clients. It is intended to provide litigation defense when things go askew. You want to know how to deal with this market? One of the ways to expand your knowledge is to attend our webinar today right after the show. Quarter after the hour, we'll get started. It'll be time for Q&A. If you have not yet registered, go to irradio.com. irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner says webinar. A couple of clicks. We need your email, your first and last name, and you'll get a link to join us. If you cannot join us today because there's somebody in the household who says, I have other plans for you, well, you'll still get a replay link. And instead of watching a TV replay, you can watch ours and get educated on what's happening with today's stock market. Well, let's see. One of the things, the pandemic changed lots of stuff, didn't it?
It did. Very quickly.
Yeah, life is not the same. It was stressful, particularly being stuck at home, not being able to go anywhere, having to have your face half covered so you can't breathe. So what did people do? Well, we found that liquor sales increased.
Doing just fine, yep.
presumably consumption did too, otherwise the sales wouldn't have. Pot sales increased. Presumably consumption did too. Telemedicine showed up on the scene, something that many of us have been trying to get done for some time because not all of us work with doctors who are in the local community. Some of us need specialists who are out of state. And telemedicine made a lot of sense to us, but the insurance industry said, yeah, we don't think we can trust that. If you can't see your doctor and he can't put a stethoscope on you to listen to your lung, yeah, you're on your own.
We're not paying for that. That's right.
Well, that's changed, and it's changed the healthcare industry permanently. They are not. Who's going to go back to driving in to the clinic if all you need to do is ask some questions?
And there's a lot of states that are busily trying to change the laws now to continue especially the telehealth laws that got brought in over the pandemic because it's worked so well. It's saved so much money. It's given so much more access to healthcare to people. I mean, it's just been a total, grand slam, and they don't want to see that go away because, COVID goes away and the lockdowns end. That it was one of the very good things that that bubbled to the surface because of all the lockdowns.
So during the pandemic, they states did want to see if they couldn't maintain some level of business in the restaurant area because it hires a lot of people. So they waived the rules about food delivery and, in many cases, about alcohol delivery. And now the restaurant association they found a way to make some money doing that, and people found it convenient. And many states aren't letting restaurants actually seat to capacity, which makes it very hard to justify being in business. So the Restaurant Association is pressing for permanency in this home delivery business of whatever it is they can sell that somebody wants to call in and take an order from. Now, Domino's has been doing this for a long time. I was reading the other day in a book about a guy who was a real innovator in the stock market. Mathematician, And I mean, I ran this by my wife, and it took her a minute to catch it. Said, so what's the difference between a mathematician and a pizza? You don't have an answer, Perry?
That's a tough question. Yeah, pepperoni? I'll guess pepperoni.
That's close. The pizza can actually feed four people. A mathematician doesn't make that much money.
Right.
He's got to figure out what else to do.
There we go. All right.
Oh, anyway, I'm sorry. That's a bad joke. But I read that. I thought, yeah, that's pretty funny. Pizza works. I haven't had one in a long time. I drove by a place the other day, and I thought, boy, I bet that tastes good. Anyway, we've got a lot of changes that are going on, and those changes are permanent. We need to figure out exactly how we adapt our portfolios to this new world. This really is a new world for investors, and most portfolios are not addressing the changes that are going on right in front of us. We are going to talk about that today in just a short 15 to less than 20 minutes. Go to IRIradio.com, register for today's webinar. If you cannot attend, we will send you a replay link. Again, that website to register for today's webinar is IRIradio.com. You want to talk to us during the week, the magic number is 800-317-9119. We'll be glad to take your questions, give you a free analysis of your portfolio, chat about what you want to chat about. But Lord willing, we'll be back next week, as we will shortly on the webinar.